Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Local fan favorite speed racers gobbling up this track.
Assolutamente, è una stella nascente che vince gara dopo gara.
Non potresti giù, voglio vedere ma
sempre. Sto nuove sista, un nuove sista che arriva a scuola.
Let us hope he does not make the same mistakes that his brother made.
If I tilt my head to the side, I sound better. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 372, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He flies out of his wrecked car in a ball of goo Dunaway.
Ah! Oh, hi. Hello. First name Speed, last name Racer. And now it's time for What You Talking About theme song, where I will do my best to present talking points and avoid singing along the way.
All right.
Here we go. Here he comes. Here comes Speed Racer. Hey, thanks for the heads up, songwriter. That's not ominous at all. He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon, and he's going to be chasing after someone. Let's break that down. A demon on wheels, well, that is the thing we say about people who are driven. However, the second mention of demon is not qualified with any sort of type, which leads me to believe this song is implying the Speed Racer is an actual demon. Well, that changes things. What did you do, Papa Racer? What did you do? He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. Holy crap! The chasing someone is now no longer in question. It's you who the Demon Racer is chasing. Oh, man. Also, there are rumors circulating that Speed Racer lures little kids and monkeys with candy into the trunk of his car. Chim Chim, no! You nothing but evil, Speed Racer. Then it gets kind of muddled here. He's been revving up a powerful Mach 5, and when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, you bet your life, Speed Racer will see it through. A life wager. Nope. Nuh-uh. Nope. Go, Speed Racer. Go, Speed Racer. Go, Speed Racer. Go. Straight back to hell, you doe-eyed demon. Randy, what movie did you watch this week?
I don't know. It's almost as long as the intro, this movie that we saw, 2.5 hours.
Well, I was afraid Randy may have written the same thing. Quiz.
Yeah. No, that's all right. You did a full 2-minuter there. That was well done.
Oh, nice. That was impressive.
Also with us, hold on a second, all the way from beautiful Canada. Thank Randy, you. What the hell is Susan Sarandon doing in this, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Right.
And welcome to Montage the Greeting. How do you even write a greeting anyway? Well, I think you don't. You guys just ad-lib. Oh, look at you, trying to be all entertaining. This is too ambitious, Randy Deluxe. You'll never keep this up. I believe I can do it, but only if I try real hard. Words and phrases. Different related idea from someone watching along. Reaction from people watching in a bar. This greeting is almost done, but it didn't actually do anything. Are you just battering the audience with rapid pieces of story? I think I feel something, but I don't understand what's being said. Hooray! It's over! The end!
I feel like I just saw it twice. That was really good. Yeah. No, honestly, like straight up, straight up the way you just did that, that's Speed Racer in short. Like, that's the movie. But we can't finish until we say look who else is here. Brian, I bet they hired Christina Ricci because she has huge anime eyes, Ibbit.
So it's an interesting piece of trivia that there are actually two chimps that played the role of Chim Chim in the movie, and one of them bit their co-star, resulting in some mishandling by their trainer, i.e. a beating, and PETA getting involved. All of this 100% true. But surprisingly, that's just one of many infractions that PETA was upset about. People for the ethical treatment of animals, for those of you who weren't familiar with PETA.
Not the kid from Hunger Games.
Here's some other things that PETA had issues with. Number one, making the poor chimp have to sit through Adobe Flash-based garbage anime and then act it out afterwards. Two, having to appear in a film that looks like it was made while dropping acid in the Dayglo poster section of a Spencer Gifts. Number three, making the chimp guzzle literally gallons of espresso to perform in the Freebird golf cart montage. Number four, having to share a trailer with John Goodman. Number five, being insulted about German chimpanzees speaking the same language as American chimpanzees? Nine! And finally, having to work most closely with a co-star that looks like the love child of one of the Corys and the fat kid from Goonies, or, as I'm going to refer to him for the rest of this episode, Chunky Feldman.
Oh, very nice. It's my least favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor, though. Chunky Feldman. It's
not Chunky Feldman.
Yeah, it's not tasty. Well done. You guys all nailed it. This is pretty much, I don't know what else to say about this thing. All right, this is what I'll say. Speed Racer, movie, Wachowski brothers, now sisters. They were brothers at the time.
So you
got that. Lana and Lily now are the right. Wachowskis.
Call them the siblings or the sister, or like, you can't just say siblings or whatever, because at the very end of the movie, the first thing you see is, Directed by the Wachowski brothers.
Yeah, they say that exactly. The brothers part is there. I don't know if those guys are making the Avengers stuff. Those brothers, I forgot their names. Anyway,
Farrelly brothers.
No, wait, I wish. Oh my gosh, I wish. No, it's the Russo brothers. That's it. I want to know if the Russo brothers also go by the brothers, and if one of them, cuts cord and says, "Nope, I'm a lady," they're gonna have to go through the same thing. I don't know, but here's the important
cuts
part.
Cord.
Here's the important part. Here's the important part that we know.
It might be the most innocuous Freudian slip I think I've ever heard on film.
That's pretty good. But the point is, the education here is that the Wachowskis, call them what you want, haven't made a good movie since The Matrix 1. Now, you'd say, Scott, what about V for Vendetta? And I would say V for Vendetta is an amazing movie. They didn't direct it. They have producer roles there. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have a lot of hands-on. Clearly, they do. That movie was pretty good. But name a movie since the first Matrix that was any good. And now I will put Speed Racer in there because I hadn't seen it till now, and I'm putting it in the same list of bad movies in a row. There's no good movies.
Right.
Name one.
You
can't do it.
What's that
planet one that just came out?
Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending. Yeah, Cloud Atlas.
Exactly. Okay, so can I argue that Cloud Atlas or Jupiter Ascending, Speed Racer, or even The Matrix is a really good movie? No, I can't. I can say that all of these movies, to me, were entertaining.
You can say The Matrix is an incredible movie. You can say
When's Scott the last two times you went back and watched The Matrix?
Well, lots of times.
It's very good.
Scott's talking about After, and I'd like to credit them with V for Vendetta and call it a good enough movie that it's not an absolute that they haven't done anything good since then.
Well, sure, but again, they only produced there, they didn't direct. So I'm talking purely direction here.
Lily Wachowski is credited as a writer for V for Vendetta. That's an extra part that I think is...
Fair enough. No, that's true. I don't want to...
And
I don't
a second unit, and a second
stuff.
Unit directing for the two of them, V for Vendetta.
I was going to make a joke about who has second units, but then people would think I was having fun.
Turned out when you said cut the cord.
your point leads to a very interesting subject. And have we already described the film we're talking about? Or are we past that already?
Because Fletcher's not here, but it's Speed Racer, based on the anime film of the same, or anime series of the same name from the late 60s and 70s, made in Japan. VO'd in American over here as far as we knew it, and we all probably grew up with some syndicated version of this thing. It's based on the cartoon.
And so, including their MTV run.
Yeah.
So the question you raise is, can a maker of art reach a pinnacle and maybe early from which they can never return because they're either A, not as competent as the art that pinnacled out, or B, they're resting on their laurels? And I say yes, and I just can't think of any good examples right now.
Well, I mean, they had other movies before The Matrix that were good. Bound was quite good.
Bound is surprisingly good for being so different from everything that they did afterwards. I mean, it was Robert Downey Jr. and...
Was Robert Downey Jr. in that
thing?
Who was in that? No, wait, you're thinking of something else. This was Jennifer Tilly, yeah. Gina Gershon, Joey Pants. and that's it. I don't see what's his name in
okay
there.
So Joey Pants is who I'm thinking of in the in the Robert Downey. I was confusing. I don't know how I could confuse Joey Pants and Robert Downey Jr., but for some reason I was picturing Robert Downey Jr. in that role. And maybe there's another one where it's like a
I'm gonna go
two girls kind of situation.
Actually, you make a fine point. I'm looking at a photo of the set, and Joey Pants looks like Robert Downey Jr. now. So I think that's why, because it's weird, but he kind of looks like, he looks like old. How do I put this? Robert Downey Jr. today is Bound era Joey Pants. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I'm gonna have to go look for that set picture you're describing.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's put this in perspective. Scott says that there's been nothing good since The Matrix. And I will argue the fact that I think The Matrix was cutting edge. I wouldn't necessarily say, I don't even know if good would be the proper term.
Oh my gosh. It's one of the best. Okay. We're going to have this out right now. It is one of the best science fiction action films of all time. Like, it's up in the list of top 10 ever. Yeah.
Not only was it described as such while it was still hot in theaters, which is remarkable, right? Like, not only was it very highly rated in the moment, but up until part two came out, it stayed there.
Yep.
It was absolutely the best regarded film of its time.
Yeah. And if you go back in there,
I'm not saying a bad thing. Okay.
If you go back in there, you go watch it now, that thing absolutely holds up. The sequels tarnish it. Absolutely. But you can be watched without them. You can pretend they don't exist. It's fine.
Throw a little defense to V for Vendetta before we go completely away from.
Well, they didn't direct
no, again, they didn't direct they didn't that direct though. It. Yeah, we're I'm talking pure it. Direction. That's
they're
it.
Second unit directing, second unit direction, writing.
But you know, if you direct a movie,
don't come at me with that second unit mess.
Nobody ever goes best second unit director award. Like, there's no such thing.
But you can't you can't say that they weren't involved in the look and feel of the movie.
Well, absolutely right? I mean, they were, and that's why I say that one is an amazing film, but it can't I don't think it can be argued in the same list as actual directed projects.
I just think that they by being I think Lana wrote it, was screenwriter, by the fact that she wrote it, it's almost
adapted it, but yeah.
Right.
Sorry, adapted it. And that actually was going to be kind of go to my point that I think if there weren't a fantastic graphic novel series, Alan Moore,
Alan Moore, yep.
Fantastic graphic novel series that it was based on, I think there would be a lot more appreciation for the visual spectacle that V for Vendetta is.
Well, I love that movie. Like, I don't have a zero bad thing to say about V for Vendetta. All I'm saying is,
because they didn't direct it.
No, I'm just saying, that's not the argument. The argument isn't V for Vendetta good or not. My argument is, have they directed a good movie since The Matrix? That's all I'm saying. Okay.
And there are people who would claim that the Wachowski brothers' direction of Cloud Atlas was very good. I'm not among them.
Yeah,
I think at that point, by the way, Cloud Atlas was not brothers.
Right. Yeah. That's why I just said sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually another name listed as the brothers in that one, or the Wachowskis, which is what they're
But in that one, you got the directors of Cloud Atlas were Tom Twyker, or Tykwer, however you say that, and Lana Wachowski. And I think that's when... Oh, no, they both... So there's three director credits on that movie.
Right.
So I don't know who you give the credit to there. That's weird.
So for anybody sends emails,
yeah, I didn't like it.
Anybody before anybody sends an email and say Brian's a moron for not liking The Matrix, I didn't say did not like The Matrix. I think The Matrix is good. I think my good is like maybe a B minus, and I think Scott's is like a B plus. So we're all in the same kind of category of good movie.
I give it
however,
A. I'd be an
I
A.
I don't think it's so freaking amazing that it makes, you know, it makes these other things going like, oh, you have fallen so far. I don't feel like they've fallen that far. I would definitely say The Matrix is probably the best of what they did, but I wouldn't say it's like such a stretch to go, oh, The Matrix, and then they made that stinker.
Yeah, like The Matrix sequels.
You got to consider, you don't have to just consider the movie, but you got to consider all the things that came after it that were influenced so heavily by The Matrix.
Right. Oh, I don't deny that it was a milestone movie and that it did some things that were, you know.
I mean, those Gap ads with bullet time.
Oh, yeah. Right. Don't forget. Who can forget those? I mean,
thank you, Wachowskis. Yes.
It influenced hell of things.
Thank you for making Jump, Jive, and Wail by the Brian Setzer Orchestra permanently added to my playlist.
It still does it, though, too. Gibbet makes a good point. Gibbet. Sorry, Ibbet makes a good point.
Good old Gibbet.
Old Gibbet. is, you know, to this day, there are movies that are influenced by The Matrix. There are entire YouTube channels that don't exist without the influence of The Matrix. Like, The Matrix is an A. There is no B+. It is an A movie. And if you're talking about how far they've fallen from it, imagine the tip top of a tree, the very tip top of the tree. There's The Matrix up there. And the rotten, dirty fruit at the base of the tree are all the other things they've directed. That's how far it fell.
And I just want to point out, you got to go back in time a long ways to find a few films. Like The Fifth Element was 2 years before The Matrix. Gattaca was 2 years before The Matrix. The Men in Black that same year. And then it's like you got to go back another 7 years to find like Total Recall. There are not a lot of great films that are preceding it. And so it really towers because you just didn't have anything to compare it to.
Right. And that's my entire case. I mean, obviously, it's a
so
it's
what
subjective,
you're saying
right?
is they could not. I'm saying that their directorial capabilities comparing The Matrix to something like Cloud Atlas is not such a wide gap that you're playing it is. Now, I'm not saying that The Matrix was great, you know, way more influential than Cloud Atlas was, but I'm saying as far as their directorial abilities, I don't think it's that different.
Well,
The Matrix was the right movie at the right time, the right elements. And it just hit. Can you capture that again? Can you make that magic again?
Well, that's the trick.
And this is things we've never seen before when we saw Matrix. And if you need further proof, Brian Dunaway, 2000 Saturn Awards, Best Director for The Matrix. 2004 Golden Raspberry Awards, Worst Director for Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions. Golden Raspberry Award 2016, Worst Director for Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
You go from the Saturn Award for Best Director to two Golden Raspberry nominations.
Now we have a contemporary example of this sort of thing, and that's M. Night Shyamalan's film. So a lot of people think he peaked at. Some people think he peaked with his first movie. I think he peaked with his second movie, but
and that's what I was on my mind when I talked about hitting the pinnacle and then either declining or coasting or whatever you're describing, and is it that the person just can't do it again? Like they just can't get there? They expended their ammo, so to speak, or maybe they're just resting on their laurels. They've been there, done that. They've gotten their Oscar, and now they're just cashing in, like. Mm. Is it maybe it's some of both, but imagine if Christopher Nolan had peaked with like Memento and then every movie I've imagined if Dark Knight sucked and Interstellar sucked and The Prestige sucked and so on, you'd be like, what are you doing? Why is he still making movies?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, what was his big, Memento, as you mentioned it, that thing was a big deal and it propelled him into bigger things. Insomnia, not as much, but it was still a good movie. It was just kind of a quieter, not, you know, wasn't as big as any of his other films, but you knew you had somebody special there and then you proved it later. It was like, oh, okay, he's gone on to do more and more stuff.
Can you name anything that Diablo Cody has done since Juno, even though she's released she's directed maybe half a dozen, maybe three or four films since?
No, that's the thing. That's the one that jumps out, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but Diablo Cody is trying to do this, right? Like, very specifically taking on films that are destined to be small and unseen.
Yeah, right? I see what you're saying. So, like, resting on your laurels, like, this will succeed whether or not I'm involved. I'm just phoning it in kind of thing.
Maybe. I always heard young adult was good, and I just never got around to it. But I'm not
saying that either. Like, I get the feeling that there are filmmakers who they get passionate about stuff that's never going to find an audience. And that's just how they do it. Like, they're like, this script excites me. I'm going to make this movie and I don't care if it's a movie that's going to have broad appeal. Right. Whereas the Wachowskis are trying to make movies with broad appeal. They're just not that good at it.
They're a little George Lucas. I hate to say it. Like George Lucas, in a way also peaked with Episode 4. He had different directors and writing help on 5 and 6. And the prequels were then proof that, ooh, maybe he shouldn't be the only guy in the room. Like,
well, let's bring in Howard the Duck too to kind of
figure. Oh gosh, I forgot, dude. I totally forgot. But, and you know, you could even
is Speed Racer there, Howard the Duck?
Oh,
is
right. That movie we watched. That movie we watched called Speed Racer actually uses bullet time. And I'm like, no, Wachowski.
Oh, of course it does.
No.
Oh, of course it does. I mean, look, the problem
is everything. I mean, they threw everything at this film and decided like bullet time, high speed, low speed, montage, anime backgrounds, bokeh, whatever that's called, everything.
Yeah. I could have really gone for something that more embraced, like for me, the 1 foot in and 1 foot out approach of the film is my biggest problem with it. I think if they'd have gone completely wacko, CGI everything all the time, I would have liked that better. In fact, I think this would have been like a fun, I'm trying to think what studio would do it, Sony or Fox or somebody, but like a fun 3D film, like a 3D animated film.
I remember when this came out, I saw it opening night in the theater, and I remember the talk, like Variety Magazine, the world's first live action anime, and I'm like, yeah, and I went and saw it, and I get it. It's not necessary what you're talking about. The mix of live action and animation, just it's not necessary. They didn't have to do it.
Well, it's
it
also
like this.
Jarring. It's also that's my problem, is it took me out of it. And it took me out of it to the point that all I could think about was, all right, yeah, this is 08. This is a couple of years into the Xbox PlayStation 3 era. We're a 360 and PS3, and we're kind of at that part where everything's super dude bro racing kind of stuff. We've hit a new level of CGI fidelity here, and now we're just going to overdo it, completely overdo it, kind of like all the Agent Smiths in that sequel to The Matrix that was just so overdone. They were like, you know what we can do? We can make it look like there's a bunch of Agent Smiths, so let's do the worst possible thing and have a billion Agent Smiths. And they didn't have time to refine that. There's way better tech now. You can do those sorts of things and not have it look so stupid. This is how that feels to me now. This feels like plastic Mountain Dew freaking garbage poop to me.
And Scott, I want to name some movies for you.
All right.
I want to name some movies for you. The Dark Knight, Wall-E, Iron Man, Slumdog Millionaire, Gran Torino, Tropic Thunder, Quantum Solace, Man on Wire. Those were all 2008 films that came out in the same year as this one.
Wow.
All good movies.
Yeah. What a year.
Yeah. It's a great
year. For exciting movies, right?
Yeah. I'm into that whole era is good. This movie is not. And here's the thing. I was actually looking forward to this. I was looking forward to this. I thought, you know what? I didn't see it then. I like it when I get to see it for the first time. And I just was bummed out by all of it. This is boring.
I knew I would come in with this. Because I knew that was going to be a real look at what's entertaining versus, you know, what is, I don't know, good?
Art.
That word is what's entertaining, because I will say I was entertained. I can't say that it was, there was things that annoyed me about it, but there was also things that I liked. And at the end of the day, even though it was a 2-hour-and-14-minute movie, which from the get-go, I was like, oh, no.
It's too long.
2 hours and 14 minutes?
Hey, guess what? I loaded up in a browser with those Netflix Chrome tools, and I set it to 1.25.
Nice. Well, I watched it normal speed all the way through, and I was entertained by many performances. I was most annoyed, I would almost say, by the special effects of the racing. The racing didn't bother me as much as some of the special effects that were going on, all the flashing, all the... That was annoying. I didn't like that.
I didn't mind that because I like a good race. It reminded me of Wipeout. Remember Wipeout? Me and Ibbot used to play a bunch of Wipeout.
Remind me of Wipeout. Yeah.
The racing wasn't too bad because I was worried. I was thinking there's going to be parts of this movie that are going to be way too long and unnecessary. And I never really found which parts were way too long and unnecessary because I still found myself enjoying it.
You like a monkey and like a kid.
The racing got a little... repetitive. I mean, how many times can you watch, oh, he's coming at you, shtoing, and he does a little flip and then he's on the other side of the car.
He hits the A, shtoing.
Okay,
were you guys...
Especially 9 years after Phantom Menace. Like,
were you still raw?
Yeah. Yes. Well,
Phantom Menace was the same year as Matrix 1 release anyway. Yeah. And
are you referring to pod racing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Pod racing was pretty cool.
Yes, that's it was the best thing in the movie.
Yeah.
The best part of episode one.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's it. You're done. I have seen all the racing I need to see. That's super fast speed and all CGI. No more racing. And then this movie comes along and is like, I heard you like the pod racing. Right. Oh, no. I'm done with it. I don't know. Oh, we're going to have like five different races. And the crowd at the races are below the track. Like you would buy those seats?
No, they would all. They all turn into a rubber ball and bounce away safely. So it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, only only not in the rally races though.
No,
rally
that's true.
Can we talk about that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like an afterthought, the whole like, oh, they didn't die. Their car thing, like, you know, a second before their car exploded into a ball of fire. They were encased in a little ball of styrofoam, and they just floated down.
Right. Well, one of the mandates for this movie, because it was in development hell for a long time, but the one thing they wanted to do was make it accessible to young people.
They wanted a PG-rated film.
They had to stay in the PG rating, so they avoided, you know, killing people and having those stupid bubble things. But they in the rally, they kind of just glossed over it and said they didn't really say we don't use bubbles out here in the rally. But
well, they used them at the start where they were coming out of that temple and a bunch of balls or people that had blown up. The balls came bouncing out of the front of the temple.
Yeah.
But out in the desert, like people were dying to me. I couldn't except for the guy that fell off the cliff and then he had a big parachute.
I hate loved the theme gangs that were there.
I don't think they were well defined, is my problem.
Can we get a Trump alert?
Sure. Why not? Hold on.
I also hate loved the themed ammo that you've got on your cars. Yeah. If you're Vikings, you have a beehive catapult, and if you're the snake oiler, you have a snake catapult.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's trophy.
And how'd you get bought off? Well, these one guys get the money. Mm. This other guys, they get furs. It's that was a weird thing, but for some reason furs. I kind of liked it.
The Vikings get like skunk legs or whatever the hell that was.
And, hey, can I say that was what I think was the runner-up for what grossed Scott out the most was them having meat grease all over their faces and rubbing those furs all over their faces?
Yeah, you're not wrong. I actually wrote that down until I saw something grosser later. So that was probably the runner-up.
I know what the winner is. Come on.
Yeah, the winner's easy. The winner's
easy. I can't think of the winner.
No, the winner is freaking chimpanzee poo in your eye.
The poo toss. Oh, that was great.
Faces, as I was calling it.
Faces. Nice. Faces. I didn't get that. That's good. That's really good. The faces.
And that was all that same desert scene, wasn't it?
Everything whatever that was. There was almost like snow there.
The final race, the winding track up the hill, and they stopped for some reason to like swap out Christina Ricci for the Asian woman.
Because
we've got time for that, apparently. And
she was... Well, whatever. Christina Ricci completely underused in this film, as far as I'm concerned. She's barely in it. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, the little...
Susan Sarandon, it was just like, why are you even here?
She owed so many money or something. I don't know what that was about. She had to... There's no way she did this without her agent screwing her over or something.
Atlas,
by the way.
Oh, was she? Maybe she's a Wachowski fan, I guess.
I just want you to know, right this minute, as we're talking, Christina Ricci and Susan Sarandon are hiding right over there in the kitchen. They're ducked down.
Great.
Over there.
Great.
Like, literally, you can't see them when they're in a scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a little bit weird. But what was I going to say? The little girl who played her when they were younger.
Yeah.
That's right. The girl from Modern Family. Yeah, the middle daughter. Is that her name? Yep. Yeah.
Ariel Winter. Very good.
The glasses wearing one. She was raised as in the show. She was put out there as the kind of the nerd middle child, but she's got her own thing.
Once I saw that, I had to go back and pull Tina into the room and say, "All right, can you tell who this is?" And she's like, "No, I don't recognize her." I said, "Now imagine her with glasses." And she's like, "Oh my God, that's the girl from Modern Family."
Yeah, she was good for the part. But anyway. I had a point with all that. Where was I going? I don't know. Here's some trivia. The brother, the Friday Night Lights brother, I feel bad for him because he's cool. Yes. He did all kinds of decent work on TV. I thought he'd have a bigger role. All he did was hop in there and spend most of the movie as Matthew Fox.
Yeah, I will admit. I will totally admit that I predicted Matthew Fox was going to have a huge career in entertainment like 15 years
ago. We all did.
Boy, was I wrong.
Well, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong.
He's a lust.
Yeah.
You know?
He was, there's nothing wrong with Matthew Fox, but I think Matthew Fox suffers from almost the exact same problem everyone on Lost did. They were on a groundbreaking, earth-shattering show that changed TV forever.
Yeah.
And how can you not end up being typecast in a way?
I didn't want to like him as Racer X. But I kind of...
No, he was fine. He was fine. It's not that he's bad.
Something worked about it. Did you guys watch the anime back in the day? Did y'all watch like the entire whole 52 episodes, season one only?
I have a Plex server.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of Speed Racer, the animated show.
I have a whole Hulu. Plex server full of them. I have tons of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
It's on Hulu now. And it's one of the reasons why I gave this movie some leeway with visual, because the original Speed Racer messed with perspective all the time. It was just, you know, you would see a track almost as a background because it was like flying up into the sky. The thing I didn't like was how they just inundated you all the colors. I don't know.
Yeah, they were really into that, but I don't know what else you'd do. Again, you either have to embrace that or you have to dial way back and just do like cars from, you know, Fast and the Furious. I mean, what is Fast and the Furious? It's Speed Racer with, you know, smack-talking adults. Yeah, it's Vin Diesel as Speed.
Yeah, but the Fast and the Furious is this whole other thing where it's about international crime.
Yeah.
And this movie has this really plain message. Right, and that is that capitalism leads to crime, which leads to people getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, it's trying to say that what would the world be like if it was everything hinged on racing, like the entire society.
Racing is a religion for these characters. Absolutely,
which I think you lean into, and I don't know if they did enough, but I like. I mean, that's why what I wanted them to do is embrace the ridiculous, just go all the way with it, and instead. I don't know. Maybe it's impossible to do. Maybe this is the wrong movie. Maybe they have to animate it.
Some of the things were ridiculous. Some of the things reminded me of the stuff that the parts they hated about Looney Tunes Back in Action. I like the movie, but there's stuff in that movie as well as Roger Rabbit, who everybody's trying to get us to watch. I don't dig the bounciness of like guns and stuff and the different play. I don't know. It annoys me. And they did that a lot in this because a lot of the weapons were real bouncy and jumping up and moving around. And it's just like, it just seems so goofy.
I got a question for you, Brian Dunaway. Could you have done without the monkey entirely?
Always.
If the monkey had not been in this movie, would you have been okay?
Always. I would have been okay without the monkey as long as they at least did a cameo. And they probably wish they hadn't had the monkey after the beating that one monkey took.
And by the way, friends who are in the midst of composing a tweet, I know it's an ape. I know.
Yeah, they're actually Manobos. Is that what they're called?
Chim Chim. No. His real name? Chim Chim.
No. That's a real name. The kind of monkey it is is a
chimpanzee.
No, it's a Namobo something.
Bonobo?
Bonobo, no, that's
a
it.
Chimpanzee in this movie.
Well, it says here. It says
bonobo monkey. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if this is right, but that's what the IMDb says.
I'll give that to you.
How that we Yeah.
People get to write in their own own trivia, though.
Right.
If we believe the trivia, Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered for the role of Speed Racer. So I don't know if we could completely.
I was going to say Chim Chim.
Chim Chim. I'll be back, he says. But anyway, look, here's the thing, though. You have anime. You're talking about anime source material here. The rule with anime source material is you always have stupid sidekick humor thing. And it's usually some kind of little dirty old man scientist, or it's some kind of weird animal like Orko, or the freaking whatever they were on Thundercats. What was that thing called? Snarf.
But wasn't that wasn't always from the source material. Sometimes we added those in to Americanize this.
No, we did. Like, no question. I'm actually saying it's the reverse. I think the Japanese tendency in anime to always insert one of those. I think they got that idea from us, because we always did it with like old Disney stuff. There was always some bird or shitty animal
sidekick or something like that.
Yeah. So I think I think they got it from us. A lot of their stuff's inspired by, you know, Disney and stuff from that era. Then they turn around and make anime into something that's such a force in the world that now we look at it and get inspiration from it. But they retain that weird stuff. A monkey and a kid, that is so a thing they would do. And if you made this movie without it, there'd be fans who, you know, poop their pants. They'd be so upset.
Absolutely. You'd at least have to have a cameo. I mean, you couldn't ignore the monkey entirely.
Yeah. What about?
And by the way, I've just been looking this up. I think it is a bonobo. Generally speaking, they look the same. They're a little smaller than a chimpanzee. Its name is Chim Chim. So that led me astray. Bottom line, we all know it's an ape, folks, but we're going to call it a monkey. Carry on.
Pretty sure they needed it to look like a chimp. Bonobos look like chimps. Done.
Oh, right. For sure. Yeah.
Willie and Kenzie were the two bonobos that played Chim Chim. But I think if you you couldn't eliminate them completely, but I could have done with a little bit less of Spritel and Spriddle or whatever his name was.
Let me rephrase my question.
And Chim Chim.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase my question. When you're going from a comic to a live action, can't you lose characters that don't make sense in reality?
Of course.
Yeah. Have you seen any Crypto in any of the Superman adaptations?
Exactly my point. And I don't understand why the monkey is in this movie.
Crypto was the dog, right?
Yeah.
I think you can't eliminate the monkey or the chimpanzee completely, because
it's hard.
Well, what do you mean it's hard? Because they're pooping everywhere? Or what do you mean it's hard?
No, well, because it's hard because Spritel was such a huge component in the original anime.
And was he, though? He was Scrappy-Doo. He was Scrappy-Doo in that show.
But he was Scrappy-Doo from the beginning. There's a thing that's going on in this movie that I really, really enjoyed, and I can't quite put my finger on how to explain it, but it's the thing that I enjoyed about the Addams Family to watch is Christina Ricci. No, it's the family dynamic of the family against the world. And even though there may be some conflict in the family, it's very to the side. They still stick together.
Yeah,
it's not cynical about family. The dad is not trying to cheat. The mom is not angry at the dad and calling him a deadbeat. They avoid all of those family stereotypes that we seem to see so much in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see a functioning family, even the dad who knows he has made a mistake with his oldest son.
I totally agree. Yeah, I agree with
made
that.
Adjustments.
My favorite part of the movie was that, and I also like the scene, which should have been too maudlin to enjoy, but I like the scene at the end where he's pulling out the last part of the race and figuring out a way to win. And his car's all over the place. I couldn't actually tell you what the hell was going on with the car, but but he had this montage memory of his mom encouraging him, his dad having that son-father conversation. Like, that all felt really nice. Like, that was nice. And I agree with you that that's a nice alternative to cynicism. The rest of the movie is no story.
Let me find a better word. I was disturbed by the whole decision that even though Rex is still alive, everybody who loved him and lost him isn't going to get to find out.
Right.
Like, I was like, if I lost my son, you better come find me later and tell me you're okay.
That's the soap opera. That's the soap opera part of this whole
thing. It's set up for the sequel that never would happen.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, it's like, all right, the sequel, Matthew Fox says, especially my problem with it was, you're my brother Rex, and you're, you know, you're Racer X. Racer Rex. Oh, I get it
Racer
now.
Racer Rex. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit. I didn't even that just barely came into my head after you said it. I had no idea.
And for him to say, no, I'm not. It's like, oh, come on. The character figured out who you are. You have to own up to it then.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Apparently not.
I agree.
By the way, John Goodman, most favorite thing of the whole movie, I think.
He's always good. Are you kidding? He's great.
I was here and there. Like, he was good. He did his best. I don't know why I never bought it. I always felt like he was an intruder on the movie somehow. And I guess it's because I've seen him, like, I just saw him on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? And it was like,
here's probably why. His role in this is not like the TV show. The dad was involved in every step of everything. It was always going on. He was always going, all right, Speed Racer, let's get this car together. Yeah. Like a lot of that stuff going on. Yeah. In this thing, he's just sort of, well, I teach my kids to do good stuff. See ya. And then he's not there.
I'd be watching that race.
Yeah. But he's great in that John Goodman's great, but I'm not so sure he was well used here. I mean, he's no stranger.
You can tell this was like in the middle of his weight loss period where he was starting to get boobs. He'd been losing some big body weight, but his boobs weren't catching up to that. And,
right. He was upper deck, man, big time.
Yeah. It's
Was this right around the same time as the Flintstones? Is this?
This is after, well after. It's got to be like 8 years after, something like that. Okay. But I was just gonna say, he's no stranger to weird stuff like that, like taking an animated show and making a movie out of it. With the first Flintstones was him. He's always down to clown, that guy. He's like, I'll be in your fancy Coen Brothers movie, and I will also be the dad from Speed Racer. Like, he's just fine.
I'll be in Argo and
Roseanne, and I'll do another thing. Like, he is the most versatile. Yeah. It's like the most versatile dude. I just think he's great. He's one of those guys that I always worry. Just because, he's a bigger dude and he's getting older. And even with his weight loss, you just worry about him. And I'm going to hate that day where Twitter gets filled with news that John Goodman passed. That's going to suck.
I really dug the whole ninja fight scenes.
Hated them.
When they were getting attacked. Not because I thought they portrayed ninjas very well. I just thought it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'll give you, the choreography was all right. It was good. Those guys know what they're doing with that stuff, so sure.
I like the guy getting pinned behind the bed and then getting the bed pushed against him to where he folded up like a taco.
Folds up, folded ninja. It was very Top Gun, wasn't it? What was it? Naked Gun.
No, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. This is the sort of thing that, like, if I'm looking at this from a broad camera, like, I zoom way up and just say, all right, you had a whole bunch of choices of famous, let's just say, beloved stuff that came out of Japan, or even, I don't know what their intent was. Maybe they loved the source material and were always trying to get this project greenlit, or who knows.
They were. This thing was from like 1998, went through.
Oh, earlier.
Even earlier than that, went through a lot of.
Yeah, see, and I wish they would have gone Voltron, or what's the one with the big ship in space? It's like a boat.
Voltron also.
No, not that. It's
Boston Space?
Oh, I always forget the name of this, and I used to love it.
Battlestar Galactica.
No, but Battle. Wait, it's close though. Battle. Not Bravestar.
Battleship Titanic.
No, but it was like a giant boat in space. It was an anime.
Oh.
It looked like a boat.
Robotech?
No, I like Robotech too, though. But that's my point. Like, all of that stuff was ripe for the picking. I don't know why Speed Racer.
It's fun that I finally get to do it to you.
Yeah, no, it is good. It is good. I can't think of the name.
I got to say, as hard as I rack
Star my brain, Blazers. Sorry, Star Blazers.
Star Blazers.
Yeah, Space Battleship Yamato.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the name of that.
I was getting cut off because I did say that.
Oh, you did say. I didn't hear you. Yeah. Crap.
That's why. Oh, okay. So I couldn't think. I tried to really rack my brain about how to do this differently. And in the end, it always looked like this. It always ended up being this movie that we saw. I just can't imagine it being any really much different.
When you say much different, you mean better or worse, or just this is as good as you're ever going to get with Speed Racer live action?
I think this is about as good as you're going to get on a Speed Racer. Like, they could totally go back, and since everything was shot on green screen, they literally could almost remake this movie.
Yeah.
And get rid of all those special effects. So much of it's green screen.
I just think they should.
They could remake the movie without even having the actors come back. Like, you probably have so much green screen footage, the entire movie in green screen, that they could just, like, replace the green screen footage with stuff.
Yeah.
And it's 2 hours and 14 minutes long. There's plenty that you could skip.
Yeah.
And then you could dub some stuff. Whole new movie.
According to producer Joel Silver, the movie was largely shot in green screen in 60 days. And there was also a J.J. Abrams draft of the screenplay that did not get picked up. I would like to see what that was. Just kind of curious. Yeah, right. I mean, 08 would have definitely been still sort of TV J.J. And he hadn't he hadn't branched out to be Joe director like he is now, as much as he is now anyway. But yeah, like, I would like to read that. I just don't know. To answer your question, I don't know if you make this. I don't think you can. I think it's this needs to be live action. If you're going to make an anime into a thing today, I think you go, not live action, 3D animated. Look at Astro Boy as an example. That turned out great for what it is. Mm-hmm. That would have been terrible live action.
Incredible style 3D animation. I think it would be fantastic. Like, kind of goofy stylized bodies and stuff like
that's
that.
Exactly that.
Because the music was created for this was also The Incredibles. Same guy, right?
What about just more realistic live action? Like, you know, when they made Mad Max Fury Road, there was a lot of green screens, but you don't ever think about it.
There's a lot of practical though in that movie. Like, if you go watch the special stuff, you're like, whoa.
It gives all this realism to it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like, I don't know. It's hard because Speed Racer is about these crazy cars on crazy tracks, right? Mm. So, but still, I feel like it could have been more realistic.
You know what? You just said it. I think you just summed it all up for me. I already have a movie about racing across the desert that I love more than anything in this world.
You had to invoke the MMFR.
It's true.
I actually thought about not saying that. I was going to say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure, that's fine too, but they don't really race anywhere, do they?
They have a freaking raccoon man, and somehow I feel like way more realistic than Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. No, I mean, if we're going to... You know what? Actually, good example of lots of color and lots of style, and then successfully pulling it off. I think that's I think the Guardians movies... Speed Racer would kill to be a Guardians movie because it's all about execution and they just absolutely did it right. But I'm serious about this. Road Warrior is Speed Racer or Fury Road is Speed Racer. It's just a different tone. It's much darker. It's a kind of a hideous future and there aren't happy smiling moms to give you good advice. But it's still just badass. Let's get across this place and beat these weirdos. Like, it's really that movie. So I can't believe I'm saying this. But Mad Max Fury Road is Speed Racer, but done correctly.
Keep saying it. It's getting better with each telling.
Right?
Say it again.
I don't know. I even wrote down Mad Max in my notes because there's the scene in the desert where I was getting a little excited. You know? I like that kind of stuff.
Desert racing.
I'm into it.
Mad Max!
I'm into it. And for some reason, this is something I should at least get out there for full disclosure. My daughter saw this in 08. My oldest daughter, and we were talking about it the other day, and I told her I had to watch it. She loved this, and her classmates and kind of her generation and her school anyway loved this movie. This was a big deal for them, and she was probably the age I would have been during the first Back to the Future or something. And I wonder, again, this is one of those movies that if you were just the right age, man, I'll bet this was something else, you know? Mm-hmm. Probably blew their minds, and she still thinks it's great. So, yeah. I don't know.
I once again, I find it on the spectrum of entertaining.
Yeah.
I defend my position on that?
Of course you can.
Not much.
Yeah. The half of it, very entertaining. And I feel like if it was a 90-minute movie or even an hour and 45-minute movie, like I was cheated out of the entertainment by a long periods of stuff that was not entertaining.
Yeah. Or
not necessarily not entertaining, but just repetitive.
So would you cut the mafia with the piranha scene? Would you cut that with Rain? Because you know we all want to beat up Rain, right? Is that something that people want to do? Is that
that was a little useless, superfluous.
Here's the weird thing, you know. I was making fun of it from the top of the show for being a series of montages. but it was a series of montages. And when I hated the movie and I was bored was when it wasn't montaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, montaging. You could go into any scene where people were just talking and doing something and cut something out of it. Every mm-hmm. scene where people were just having a normal movie was too long.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think there's a lot of scenes that could be cut that I don't think would damage the film, but I can't think of any scene that I was just like, oh God, I wish they would cut this. Like, it is so mm-hmm. painful. It's just like, it'd be nice if there was a shortcut and then I could get the Blu-ray.
There's a better movie that pulls this off, and it's Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And by pulling it off, I mean, like, yeah. visually, tonally, like, it knows what it is and it leans into it.
So
and
maybe if we had went back, not as many people enjoyed the manga that started all of the Speed Racer. It's not as well known as the anime.
Right.
But perhaps going back to the manga, source material would have been maybe a little less
sure, but
crazy.
You know, Hollywood with all their money, they're like, well, we got to make this appeal to everybody as possible, and anime is still weird for a lot of people. And yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like the movie Kick-Ass did that pretty well.
Yeah, that's another good example.
It has some faults, but it stays true to the comic book pretty well.
Yeah,
and it never like bores you to tears with exposition.
I also feel like in a post successful Marvel world, because remember Iron Man was 2008 as well. So that's we hadn't seen what the MCU was going to be like yet until that hit. I think maybe in a post Marvel success, like let's put this at 2014 and on, you could have maybe made a Speed Racer that was able to take more risks and not try to fill all the little,
what would
broad
a Speed
audience.
Racer from 1992 have looked like? Because we were not ready. We were not prepared for the CGI with that.
Would it have looked like Jurassic Park? Is that like
no
right?
I don't think they'd even attempt to do I think they'd just use practical cars. It would have been just a racing movie.
Racing around town.
Talladega Nights
Grand Prix stuff.
Snake oil, dude.
I could go for that. What if it just described as a film I'd see? I'd spend money on. By the way, the youngest brother, the Spritel kid, Spritel, whatever his name is.
Spritel.
He didn't go on to do a whole ton of things, but his most latest film is a movie called Sex Guaranteed. So if you thought this was too PG for you.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, go see Spritel in Sex Guaranteed.
Where he stars with co-star Chim Chim.
No, I don't want that at all. All right.
It just reminded me, I have a former coworker, a friend who worked at Blizzard for a while and moved on last year. And he's a real creative type. And so he's got a lot of credits in IMDb. And he moved on, and I was just thinking earlier today about I wonder if he ever got credited on something that I might know in his time as an adult working before Blizzard. And so I went and looked up, and I'm looking Blizzard title, Blizzard title, Blizzard title, and I go back, and the only thing I found that wasn't a Blizzard title that he worked on was called Porntourage.
Oh, geez.
Jeez. It's in IMDb, and I'm like, I wonder if you could ask IMDb to lose a credit. Like,
right. Be careful what you get involved
right. Annul. Basically, it's an annulment of
yes.
Porntourage? I'm trying to find this. How do you spell that?
Well, really?
I want to know what that is.
I just wanted to know how's it spelled?
I want to know what that is. Porn.
Just start writing. Just start writing porn and see what comes up.
you want to know? Here's what it says. Pornographic material, number one.
Oh.
Number two, porn addiction recovery. Number three, porn star martini. Number four, pornography. Next one, pornography statistics. Next one, pornography
definition. You know
what? This
is the best because, go ahead.
Hold on. Porno grind bans is next. Then pornography stats, porn blocking app, and porn induced education.
So
wow.
Let me just tell you my favorite thing about Porntourage. And you can't, if you just spell Porntourage. You'll see it.
Poor age. And it's all on YouTube, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
My favorite thing about Porntourage.
First thing
IMDb,
that came up when I Googled it.
you scroll down and it's like details, country, USA, language, English, box office, budget, $1,000, parentheses, nice. Estimated.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Ooh, the accounting's pretty rough. Yeah. The accounting's pretty rough on that. Oh, I can't find it on YouTube. I'm dying to know what the plot is. That's all.
An Entourage parody website follows an up-and-coming male porn star.
Up-and-coming.
His agent to the sex stars, and of course, his porn-tourage.
Okay, so it's Entourage with porny stuff. Great.
It's on, yeah. Well, it's Entourage with more porny stuff.
Good point. Really, I never saw that show. I assume there was a lot. It was HBO, so it had a lot of naked people in it. Yeah.
And just scrolling through the, it looks like it's, or maybe hard PG-13. It doesn't look like there's any actual nudity in it. There's implied nudity quite a bit, but this is safe for somebody to watch, actually.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
But I don't know if I want to be the Jeremy Piven character.
No, you don't. You don't. My other daughter says that she watched this with me for about, I don't know, 5 minutes. And she turned to me and she goes, "This is terrible." I said, "I know."
Porn-tourage?
No.
No, Speed Racer.
Speed Racer.
Speed Racer.
And I, what did we watch this week?
And I said,
"Oh, we're back to talking about Speed Racer?
We're back to Speed Racer. We're off Porn-tourage now." She says, "This is like Spy Kids crap," is what she said to me.
That's a really good comparison.
That's it. Yep.
I liked Spy Kids so much more, though.
Yeah, but you didn't really like Spy Kids, did you?
The...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you liked it, but you didn't really like it. It's just,
I did watch that when Tristan was of the age to enjoy Spy Kids, and I feel like I
enjoyed it, sort of.
Yeah, I felt like I hated
it. But yeah, it is that whole thing of like the overuse of CGI where you know that they're just sitting in a green box and everything.
Yeah.
Is going on around.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. Is like that whole, well, a lot of the Rodriguez movies of that time all felt like that. Like even, I don't know, even the Dame
Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yes.
Ooh, in 3D.
Yeah, that was bad. Let's try to forget about that. And I will say this is what happened though. Right after all this was done, I had this uncontrollable urge to fire up Burnout Paradise and play it. So I did. I played Burnout Paradise for like an hour after I watched this movie because crashing and flying all over the place and destroying a city with a car is a cool idea. So I did that.
I now own that game, Burnout Paradise, on 3 different platforms.
Same.
I don't know what my problem
too.
Is.
I have it on a PC, PlayStation, and Xbox version of the original, and I really want the PC version of the remastered, but that's not out yet. It is still, I mean, I think it's just straight up my favorite racing game of all time. We talked, or Dunaway and I talked about this on Boot, but it's just
an iOS
so good.
Sort of version that you can get that you recommended for AppSlappy a couple weeks ago that I picked up.
Oh, was it? It wasn't Burnout, though. What was it? Couldn't have been Burnout.
Burnout Paradise, as much as it was. It was a racing game. Was it Sunset?
Oh, yeah. No, that game's cool. Except I'd compare that more to Outrun or. Burnout Paradise, which is, I don't know. Oh, wait, also, by the way, 2008. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is now at their 10th anniversary. They have a remastered version coming out. That is the peak of destructible car racing, open world stuff. Nobody's quite captured it since. It's so good. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Burnout Paradise. Go play it. The one that's on PC, the Steam version is just fine. And looks great on there still. I play it in 4K. It looks great. So
the expansion is one of those examples of an expansion to a game that has no distinction from the original game. It's called Big Surf Island, I think.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's it. Yep.
And you can't, when you drive from the original game into Big Surf Island, you practically see no difference. Like, it added some space, some territory, but it really added nothing to the game. It's one of those weird things.
It is weird. I mean, they had new races and new events, but it wasn't that much. But that enhanced version comes with all that DLC plus whatever else they released. It'll have multiplayer again. Like, I'm all for Paradise getting its love back because it's holds up. It's really good. Anyway, do you think Bernoulli? Okay, I kept hearing him bring up Bernoulli all the time. It's a tire people, right? Tire manufacturer. Is that who Bernoulli
Well, it's
is?
Also the scientist that came up with that theory that proved the theory that if you had a wing shape, air would travel faster along the bottom than it would the top and give you lift.
I didn't know that.
So lift, yes. The air travel thing has been disproved since Bernoulli. But
liar.
Yes.
But still, liar. But still, that's cool. I had no idea. Is it like a Professor Bernoulli? Is that the guy I should be?
Daniel.
Daniel Bernoulli? Yes. Old DB? All right.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I wondered, because now they're kind of known for tires. Like, everyone talks about Bernoulli. They talk about fancy high-end tires and rims and all
that. Hard drives. You don't remember Bernoulli hard drives?
No. Did they make hard drives?
Company, but like Bernoulli hard drives, I remember being a big thing in the 90s when I was buying hard drives for computers for my company.
Let me see if that's the same people. Bernoulli hard drives. Yeah, they made an 8-inch. Wait. What is a Bernoulli disk drive? Oh, this is crazy. Removable disk storage system technology released for the
iOmega. That's what it was.
It was a Bernoulli disk. It wasn't made by them. It was just called that. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Like, zip drive's not enough for you? Well, let's upgrade to a Bernoulli disk.
That's right. And they based it on this Daniel Bernoulli guy you guys mentioned. So that's cool. Well done, iOmega. They're here in Roy, Utah. Anyway, that's not important. But Bernoulli, the tire people, do you think they got money for this? Because they are the only brand I kept hearing over and over was Bernoulli. Hmm.
So I didn't even notice that never got through to me.
Well, John Goodman kept bringing it up.
Okay. Yeah.
He had the engine or something, right? It was better.
I thought it was just tires or something. Maybe it was
the tires too.
I don't know.
I think he mentioned something about the engine was different than the other one because they were facing some kind of patent issue or something.
Where do they keep the
goo? Better put on those Bernoullis.
where do you think? Or where did they put the goo that would make the G.I. Joe? Sorry, I call it G.I. Joe because in G.I. Joe, no one ever died. They always had a parachute or plane would crash. Right. Everybody would live. Those balls that they would turn themselves into in the car, where the hell is all that stuff kept? Is that in some kind of like little pouches on the side of the car? Like
that just
no, they have they have little chimps in there with a little bubble stick, bubble wand.
Well, then what saves the chimps? Right.
Yeah, the chimps all die. That's the chimps,
they just die. That's the reason why Chim Chim was in Speed Racer's trunk. Yeah.
And they saved Chim Chim. And by the way, that shit Chim Chim threw into the face of the guy from V for Vendetta that barfed in the shower, that guy. When he threw his poo at him, it wasn't lost on me that chimp had to, or that whatever monkey it is, ape, pooped in its hand to then throw it. It's not like he keeps extra in there.
Yes, and remember, folks, when you poop in your hand and then throw it, poop in the right hand and then go shake hands with somebody.
Only in the right hand.
You get double use from it.
I see. Yeah, it's pretty offensive. But yeah,
the old chimp. That's where that phrase comes from.
Is that where it came from? I wasn't aware.
Be right back.
Yeah, it's all good. Well, there you go. That's your movie. We should do clips. Should we do clips? What do you guys think?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Let's do it.
It's all engine clips. Sounds this entire rest of the show. So buckle in. Actually, it's not too many clips, but here's a few. Here's a line at the beginning.
Holy cannoli, Spade.
Holy cannoli, Spade. I know the Australian guy.
Oh, forgot about the if there was a phrase called a token Australian.
Yeah. Well, he's like your token mechanic, I guess.
Really got out of hand with the accents and people from places with the French and the German and the Australian and so on. Like out of hand. Stop it.
Yeah, they were all over the place.
That's kind of source material from the dub version, right? Because they did a lot of all these weird accents in the dub version.
Yeah, that's true of the cartoon. Yeah. I didn't think about that. The two announcers at the beginning who were calling the race were the actual voice actors from the old show. They were called Peter Fernandez and Corinne Orr. They're the original English voice actors for Speed Racer. Also did Racer X, that guy. And then Trixie and Spriddle were voiced originally by this Corinne woman. So anyway, they got a little cameo going there. Let's see. Here's one for, I put a kid, a bad actor kid is what I wrote here. Here you go.
There's a Speed Racer. My daddy told me that his daddy used to work for Nishida Motorworks, but he quit. My daddy told me that it was a completely crazy thing to do. He says the whole family is crazy.
She's bad.
Oh my gosh, she's horrendous. Yeah. Feels like the girl, like a blonde version of the Veruca Salt from the remake of Willy Wonka.
Oh, the newer one? Yeah. Wait. Yeah, well, that's right. With the mom that was in those other movies. Dodgeball. She was in Dodgeball and
the blonde, right? The
it's what's the space one we all love? with Tim
Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest. She's the one that's with the guy that's going, "Oh, we can't wait."
That's right. Yes.
She's the woman in there. Anyway,
Missy Pyle.
How can we forget Missy Pyle?
I never do.
That's such a great name.
I could never forget.
Back in ELR times, we would talk about Missy Pyle, but we call her Messy Pyle back then.
Oh yeah.
Weird.
Here's,
we're back to the monkey.
Here's Jack from Lost.
Now he's going to be the best. If they don't destroy him first.
So that's when we were supposed to think he was a villain then, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Just like
that. Current era. We're
supposed to think he was a villain.
Mm-hmm. He's a
Klopp's outfit on him.
He's a poo-poo head.
Yeah.
This line is, "This guy sucks." So here's that.
"Mr. and Mrs. Racer, I hope you will forgive this imposition. These are bluebells from Eden, Inc. I'm told they'll bloom at least 3 times, each time a different color."
Oh, geez. All right. Yeah. He's the one that barfed in V for Vendetta. That was the guy I was talking about earlier. You remember that scene?
It is a perfect example of what you do when you can't get Tim Curry.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's it's discount Tim Curry.
It's low rent Tim Curry, yeah.
That's, you nailed it. That's exactly what I was thinking while I watched it, but I couldn't place it. That's his job. Oh, that's great. That's really good. Here's a Commodore 64 reference, which I don't think we've ever had on the show. So here's our first one.
"I still remember working all night on a Commodore 64 in the basement of my foster parents' home."
Nice.
Foster parents' home. I just caught that part.
Yeah. He was a foster kid. They were trying to say that all the foster kids turn out to be evil, horrible, genius people.
Hmm.
Yeah. Nice lesson there, Wachowskis.
And thus guaranteeing that no generation after ours will ever understand that line.
Yeah.
Right.
Well done. Here's Christina, what's her name? Here you go.
"Hubba hubba."
There's that. That's about all she said the whole movie.
That and "cool beans."
Oh, yeah. "Cool beans." I hate that. Don't you hate that phrase, "cool beans"?
Cool beans.
I don't like it. Here's John Goodman.
"Cool beans.
He's just trying to scare you, son. They tried the same thing with Rex. If it's a fight they want, it's a fight they'll get."
How?
It's a good question.
How?
Here's some time with Mom. Whoops, there it is.
"Speed, when I watch you do some of the things you do, I feel like I'm watching someone paint or make music. I go to the races to watch you make art. And it's beautiful."
I think it's chaotic and hard to follow, but whatever. Mm-hmm. She and I can agree to disagree.
Mm.
How about this one? "I don't know what they said," is what I wrote. So here it is.
"Like a baby needing its diaper changed."
Something about a baby and a diaper getting changed?
"Like a baby needing its diaper changed."
Oh, hold
on. "Like a baby needing its diaper changed."
See,
once you explain it,
it's so good.
Once you explain it, it's exactly right.
Right?
What?
I couldn't hear it either. Okay, here's the worst dad joke in the movie.
"Was that a ninja?"
"More like a nanja."
Get it, nanja? Like a nanja.
So dad joke. So dad joke.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But I tell you, man, I don't know, something about him grabbing the ninja, you know, and just grabbing both of them, and then shows up with the wrestling rings. He's a champ. Just like, yeah.
That was pretty cool. But they don't play that stuff up enough. They should have leaned in. Here's "Bye Bye Little Turd."
"Bye-bye, little turd."
All right. There's that.
Snake Oiler.
Was that his name, Snake Oiler?
Yep, Snake Oiler.
All right. Here's John Goodman, who has a few things to say.
"Speed, before you go, I'd like to say a few things."
Oh, I'm sorry. I mixed 2 clips of John Goodman.
What is that? Oh, that's from Barton Fink? What was that?
It's from Barton Fink when he was barfing.
Yeah. Barfing Fink.
I couldn't help it. Well, yeah, Barfing Fink. Why didn't we think of that before? That's pretty good.
We might have on that episode of Film Sack.
I don't think we did. I would have remembered that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay. "That kid is Wily."
"That kid is Wily."
No, I literally repeated it. There you go. All right. I don't know what this is.
"It doesn't matter if racing ever changes. What matters is if we let racing change us."
Oh, gosh. Matthew Perry, speak up. Every line in that movie, I barely hear him. He doesn't come out.
It's like a Christian Bale. Yeah. It's like Christian Bale in a Batman movie.
Yeah, except those are more like, "Hey, listen, I hate his Batman. His is the worst Batman. Listen, I love those Bale films. They're the best Batman movies ever made. But yeah. He sucks when he talks when he's Batman.
Just don't talk. Can we just have a silent Batman, please?
For real.
Or the Batman.
Or give him that cool modulator that Zippy has now. That's pretty cool. If he'd had that, I'd have been with it. But he's not good at doing that whole, you guys, seriously, I'm Batman. Like, he sucked at that. Ugh. So write me and come at me, bros. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right. You know, he says I'm Batman, and you're like, mute yourself. Make that your job.
Yeah,
mute
it's is your horrible. Job. Delete your account. All right. Oh, let's move on from clips because they're done, and it's time for this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. It's no Matrix check. Not your best height of Lost's popularity move there, Matthew Fox. Check. And finally, whole planet based on video game style racing. Check. Definitely got that.
Hey, Scott. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm going to name some movies, and I want you to tell me what they have in common.
Go.
Lost, the Star Trek reboots, The Incredibles, Up, Super 8, Mission Impossible 3, Ghost Recall, Rogue One, Inside Out, Jurassic World, Zootopia, Doctor Strange, and Ratatouille.
Oh my gosh.
I know the answer.
Oh, what is it?
Giacchino?
Yes.
Oh,
ding,
music.
Ding.
Oh.
Music of Michael Giacchino, yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know that's what I was listening to last night. That's
must
cool.
Must be our greatest living composer for film score at this point.
I would agree. And the only one that I've ever had drinks with in the Bellagio hotel bar.
Every time Brian tells that, I have to warn him, just careful not to trip over that name you dropped. Just
to drop that name any chance I get.
Listen, I don't disagree that he's up there. He's up there, but I don't know that I'd say John Williams is dead yet. I don't know that I'd say that that Hans Zimmer should be pushed down the list. I think there's plenty of good composers right now. He's great, no question. No question. Again,
I wanted to stop you right before you put a soundtrack grade on this because I can easily name a dozen better scores by him.
Well, I put one in here, I put KO for Kinda Okay. I think it's good for what it's supposed to do. And I think toward the end, it really crescendoed and came out pretty good. But for the most of the movie, there's just so much chaotic talking happening that it didn't really work for me. I do like how he, integrated the theme from the cartoon in there. And if you haven't seen the cartoon, it won't make any sense. But that, the way that thing inserts itself is pretty nifty. I like that.
Cartoon, never seen the full cartoon, but I know the song enough to recognize that sting in the regular music.
Sure. It was good. I like that. Susan Sarandon, by the way, is our only Star Trek connection. She played Mom. Literally, that's her whole name, and this is Mom.
Mom Racer.
Chris Sarandon, Susan's first husband. Oh, I guess it wasn't her, but her first
husband. It's not even a Susan Sarandon connection.
No, it's her husband. That's lame. Daryl, this is lame.
It's degrees of Star Trek.
Yeah. He played Martis Mazur in the Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode Rivals, so sort of connected. Maybe he went to work one day and she said, where are you going? Oh, I'm doing Star Trek today. Okay, see it. That's the connection.
Abrams is more of a Star Trek connection than Susan Sarandon.
Oh, yeah, good point. J.J. Abrams directed Star Trek movies, two of them. Derp.
And did the original draft of Speed Racer.
There you go. Soundtrack grade, I already told you. All right, now it's time for the Twitter post. In a 280 character or less post, how would you sum this film up? Let's start with Randy.
Speed Racer, the most boring action-packed snooze fest of frenetic movement you'll ever endure. Go, Speed Racer, go! 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 Go!
Oh, it's staying. It's not going anywhere.
Go!
Just leave.
Fill up those 288 characters.
Yeah, you filled it right up. Lots
there
of
were a lot of spaces in between those final commands.
Ellipses. Brian Dunaway, your take, please.
Speed Racer, like a plate full of PB&Js that Mom Racer brings out to the garage to get you all thirsty for the milk that you can only drink if you win. Thanks, Mom.
That's your only name. Who'd you marry? Mom. Okay, great.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty gross. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Speed Racer, I feel like I'm on the 83rd lap of the Indy 80 HD.
Well done. It's very ADHD. This movie could use some Adderall, is what we're saying.
A little bit.
Well done. Let's move on.
No, the other thing. What? Adderall picks you up. Not Paxil. What's the thing that the kids used to take?
Ritalin?
Prozac?
Ritalin. Thank you. Ritalin.
Yeah. Ritalin calmed him down. Adderall creates focus. It's like speed, basically. It's legal speed.
Adderall gets
some Ritalin.
Yeah. Adderall gets your whole house clean at 3 a.m.
Adderall. what else we got here? Oh, I got alternate titles. Look at this. Oh, that's a lady. Hold on. There we go. All right. Alternate titles just handed to me. This was almost called Mad X Fury CGI or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Car. Now, there's a reason I made that reference, because the kid who played, it was Speed Racer or the other kid.
Right.
Is in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Right.
That's it.
We didn't really talk about Emil Hirsch. So
he's fine. Whatever.
So, yeah. And I was thinking, I don't remember ever seeing this guy in anything else. And I looked him up and I'm like, well, he's done things. I just haven't seen them. Any of them.
Yeah. It's Emil so Hirsch. Weird. I mean, Emil Hirsch is in a bunch of stuff, isn't he? He does things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just never happened to see them. The one thing of his that I've seen is Milk, and I don't remember him in that movie.
I don't remember Milk.
Well, he was Milk's boyfriend, wasn't he?
Was he? Was that it? Okay.
Hold on. You're right.
That's okay. Right.
You're right.
Why not?
Sure. Clev Jones, his girl. Oh, that was also 2008. Weird. That's crazy. Oh, The Girl Next Door is what I know him from. Do you guys remember that movie, 2004?
I do.
Yeah.
He played The Girl Next Door?
That's funny.
Actually features him. Doing the narration at the very beginning of that movie.
Yeah. Into the Wild.
In class.
He was
Into the Wild was fantastic. That's an excellent movie, by the way.
It's definitely his most acclaimed film, and I've never seen it, and I would like to be sold on it, because I'm not there. What's so great about it?
It's like a walkabout journey for this guy, and it's introspective and really well written, and there's a killer song by Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, that kind of through lines the whole movie, and it's really good.
I've got Spotify, so I can listen to the song. You don't have to
look it up.
You can listen to Big Heart Son.
You don't have to tease me here.
He was in
really good.
He was in something else I liked. Where is it? Oh, Lords of Dogtown.
And it's funny, because if you would have asked me or who starred in Into the Wild, and I forgot it was him, I would have said, oh, it's the dude from Entourage. Not Porn-tourage, but the main dude from Entourage.
Yeah, he does look like him. He's in
the dude who has an entourage.
He's in Lords of Dogtown, which is a great movie, by the way, if you guys ever see Lords of Dogtown. It's a skater. It's the skater one that's about, it's got Heath Ledger in it also. It was 05, I guess. It was the one about those guys that invented skateboarding, basically, in California in the 70s. Those guys. It's really good. Anyway.
All right. I will watch Deep Into the Wild.
Do it.
Into the Wild. By the way, it's funny looking at Emil Hirsch's filmography in IMDb. After Speed Racer, there is a Speed Racer video game, and I didn't realize there really was a thing. It feels redundant, but there was a video game based on this video game.
You get to hold a controller while you watch that version of the movie. Yeah.
That's about it. It's about the only difference.
I remember that thing being out. I don't know if it was any good. Probably not. Movie tie-ins are typically not very good. So
is it just throwing poop at people's faces, or is it a racing game?
That's a mini game. You race, and then it's kind of like when it's kind of like how Ryu and Ken would beat up a car in Street Fighter. Right. It's like that.
And then you have to hold down triangle while you put your finger in a piranha's, you know.
Oh, I forgot about that finger hole thing. They had more blood in that scene than I thought PG would allow, but whatever. What do I know?
You just brought up the delicious subject of movie tie-in video games.
Oh,
is there anything that even comes close to GoldenEye?
Yeah, there's other good ones. There's this Wolverine game that came out right around the time
Origins. X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a fantastic video game. The movie is a heap of shit, but the game is great.
I hear about the Geostorm game. is apparently head and shoulders above the Geostorm movie.
Yeah, that movie, it could have been titled anything. I don't know how they got that deal, but yeah, that's a mobile game that's actually pretty good.
Have you guys seen Geostorm?
No.
No.
Did you guys see it?
I'm saving it for film, Zach.
Same.
Look, I watched it.
It's inevitable.
Here's a spoiler. How about in your movie Geostorm, you actually have a Geostorm?
No.
All right, thank you.
They all drove trackers.
Yeah.
This is like if your movie was called The Maze Runner and there wasn't a maze.
That was my major complaint about the movie. I kept waiting for it.
I would like to put on this list. Hold on a second here. I thought, where is it? It's not Silent Hill. There it is. Street Fighter, the movie, the game was this.
Okay,
weird.
That's not fair.
It's good, though. It's good. It's actually good. It's fun to play that game. I mean, it's dumb as hell, and it's yeah.
This is like saying Lara Croft Go.
World of Warcraft Legion, the movie, the game.
No, it's
or Lara Croft Go, based on the movie, based on the video game.
But did you guys, I mean, you have to know what I'm talking about here. It's not just Street Fighter. It's those actors. It's those actors, Mortal Kombat style, digitized into the game.
Yeah, I remember it.
So you are when you play Guile, you are playing Jean-Claude Van Damme in that movie. It's fantastic, or that game. It's fan-freaking-tastic. It's good stuff.
The movie needs to come first. And I'm going to say the only thing I can think of the last, 20 years is Kung Fu Panda, the video game, was pretty good.
Kung Fu Panda, the video. Well, yeah, but see, that's just a video game based on a movie.
That's what we're talking about.
You're right. Yeah. No, you're right.
Holy crap.
No,
Scott.
I had it backwards in my head.
Okay.
Because of our getting stuck on that on Street Fighter 2, the video game, the movie. But other than that, I think you're probably right. There aren't too many. In that same year, 08, they made a version of they made an Iron Man game based on the movie. It's horrifically bad.
Yes, it's garbage.
It's so bad now, but I don't know. You don't even see him very much anymore now, but once in a while, oh, I got one. That horrible Mummy movie that came out last year with Tom Cruise in it.
Tom Hanks, that'd be great.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. There's a game that's
why is there a mummy in here?
It's 16-bit looking new game, but it's retro looking. It's like a Metroidvania kind of Metroid game on Steam. That game's great. Really, really good. 1,000 times better than the movie.
It makes me want for there to always be movie tie-in video games. How interesting would the Florida Project, the video game, have been?
Sure.
You're a small child. You have to escape from the slums of Orlando and make it to Disney World.
Garden State, the game.
That's right. You have to come off of drugs while surrounded by people who are on drugs.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And find your lost trinket.
It's perfect. It'd have the best soundtrack of any video game ever. That's for sure.
You don't want to face the final boss in Requiem for a Dream, the video game.
No, you don't, dude. Oh my gosh, that final boss has a decaying arm, a barfing black guy, and a thing up your butt. That movie, dude, still to this day. If that's a movie, okay, somewhere, someplace, we always talk about what movies when we were kids, we'd see them and we shouldn't have, and then they just kind of stick with us and we're horrified by them, even to this day. That's somebody's movie when they were 10.
Oh, yeah.
When they were 10, they walked into a viewing of Requiem for a Dream and witnessed all of that, and then it's just permanently a thing they'll never forget. They can't even watch Labyrinth without going, I know what you did. You know what I mean?
That's somebody's 7.
Yes, that's somebody's 7.
Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, having said that, all that, I think The Shape of Water could have made an interesting video game where you are mute and everyone else does all the talking, and you have to help your new friend escape from a bad lab and so on.
Sure.
I'm visualizing a King's Quest kind of interface where at the bottom you see what somebody says to you, and your three choices are single period, two periods, or three.
That's right. That's right.
And one of the options is do it with a fish man. So there you go.
you're spoiling the movie, Scott.
Yeah,
nobody
knows. Nobody
about
knows
that.
About
the video game too.
The first 10 minutes of that movie, doing it with a fish man. All right. Well, there you go. Hey, real quick, emails here. This comes to us from Keaton. It's not Michael Keaton, just Keaton. Who wrote in and says the following. He sent it to filmsack@gmail.com. He says, "Hey there, Sackers. I am a night shift worker and I recently was browsing channels. At about 3 a.m. on the Sci-Fi Network, this interesting movie came on called Dragonblade. It stars John Cusack as a defecting Roman general who teams up with a Chinese warlord played by Jackie Chan to defend the Silk Road in ancient China from another corrupt Roman general played by Adrian Brody. It apparently came out in 2015 as mainly a Chinese release, and its $65 million budget drew in $74,000 total in the U.S., but over $120 million worldwide. I know it's a newer film, and it can be hard to define what is a sackable film, but boy, watching this felt like it was a gem that needed to be mined from the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Mm. If it ever hits a streaming service, I'd love to listen to you four talk about it. Keep on sacking Keaton. I think we should put that on the list of things to watch for, because that sounds ridiculous. John, what casting is this? John Cusack, Jackie Chan, and Adrian Brody. That's crazy.
It's like somebody spun a wheel somewhere and came up with those three.
All right, call the guy
Point
with the
meets
nose.
High noon meets.
Yeah, find the guy with the broken nose. Get Jackie Chan in here. And where's that guy that holds the boombox over his head?
There's something you can watch if you have Amazon Prime called The 50 Worst Movies of All Time. It's a one-hour film, and it's basically just clips of 50 really, really bad movies, including stuff like stuff that we've watched here, like Howard the Duck and Space Vampire Alien Nudity Movie. I can't remember the name of that one. Galaxy of Terror or something like that. Anyway, I watched that, and I was writing down like so many things from that movie, from that quote-unquote TV show.
Mm-hmm. I'm in on that. So, this is great. Where is this right now? Where is this showing? I want to see
it. It's showing on Amazon Prime, and it's an hour long. If you can get through interstitial between all the clips, and the narrator is not great, but they have this little interstitial between all the clips, which is a bunch of people in a movie theater throwing food at the screen, and it's like Adobe Flash, popcorn and burgers and a shake that are getting thrown at the theater or thrown at the screen with like what sounds like one guy overdubbed 12 times going, "Oh, boo, boo." But like the same guy overdubbed 12 times might even be the narrator. This might be a single person's project. However, the clips that they show, things like they saved Hitler's brain and Ega with Richard Kiel before he was Jaws in Moonraker and stuff like that, looks so perfect for film sec that I encourage you guys to watch that and get some ideas for stuff to look for this.
Sounds great. Listeners, also check it out. Amazon Prime streaming now.
Anybody watched the on Netflix, the Disney Shorts collection?
No. Is that fun? Oh, that's cool.
It's really good. And you were talking about interstitials. It's got a setup by the actual filmmakers before each one of the shorts.
When you say shorts, you mean like the old like Mickey stuff or something newer?
They're all
stuff
they showed before new.
Isn't it the stuff they show before the Pixar films? The little shorts
before Pixar and Disney films. So it's all of the, it's kind of the last 20 years.
Oh, then they've got the one with the dog and the guy and the relationship. And he keeps feeding the dog, and the dog eats all the junk. I love that one. And the paper one with the couple, the black and white looking thing with the paper flying everywhere. What's that called?
Little baby seagull learning how to get clams out of the ocean and stuff.
Yeah, I'm into all that. I like the Disney ones and the obviously the Pixar ones are awesome.
Yeah, but there's some, awesome. there were some Disney shorts that I had never seen because there were several Disney feature films of the last 20 years I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix streaming. It was just very entertaining.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, man, I'm going to guess they don't include the most recent one with the snowman that they actually pulled from showing before.
No, I don't think that thing was ever, there's a lot of talk that thing wasn't really supposed to be a short. It was some broken other thing. And I don't think that thing sees the light of day.
I believe it.
I read that somewhere. I can't remember who said it, but somebody at Disney's like, that was a stand-in.
Exactly what you would say if you were embarrassed that you ever included that at the beginning of a Disney film.
That's true. If everyone loved it, I'm sure they'd be singing its praises, but they pulled that thing mid-release, didn't they? It's crazy. By the time I saw Coco.
And people were saying, what time does the actual Coco movie begin? Because I don't want to come in and see that. I want to just come in and watch Coco.
Yeah. But the fact that it was 20 minutes long, like, what the hell are you doing? That's insane. That's not a short. That's a long, is what that is. It's totally dumb. Anyway, thanks for the email there, Keaton. We'll take keep an eye out for Dragon Blade, among other rad things. And if you want to send your own emails into the show, filmsack@gmail.com is where to do it. You can find our website at filmsack.com. Next movie. I forget.
Next week, we're watching The Flintstones. Oh, that's right.
Shit.
You get two John Goodmans in a row, folks.
No, not The Flintstones. Read that again.
Oh, that's right. Forget John Goodman. He ain't in what we're watching. We're watching The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas next week.
Shit. Why are we doing
that? Sorry.
Was that Dunaway I hear in the background?
Yeah.
Same director, same characters, completely different cast.
Yeah.
Because that's how we do.
Yeah.
This one gives you Stephen Baldwin as Barney. Yes. And yep. I think the guy who played Mo in the Three Stooges.
Oh, is that who that is?
I think that's Mark Addy.
Mark Addy plays him.
He was, never mind. I thought he was in that Three Stooges thing from a couple of years ago.
No, well, I know he was in the Full Monty. I'll never forget that.
Was it Viva? What was it? Viva Rock Vegas? Yeah.
Viva Rock. The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. The film that doesn't retain any of the actors.
No,
from
Mark Addy. You guys are forgetting. Mark Addy is the king. He's from Game of Thrones. He's the
right.
He's king. Yes. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Robert Baratheon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think of that. Gosh. He was in the Full Monty. He's like that guy's like a British.
He's great.
Classical actor, and he played Fred Flintstone.
Yes.
Ed Playa of the Baratheon family.
That's right.
Yeah, so, one of the so last. Join us
next week while we skip the good one and go right to the other one.
The good one.
This is going to be a second derivative of Viva Las Vegas that we have in a row because Speed Racer was based on Elvis's character in that movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's true. Well, this is all good because there's a big TMS meetup at the end of the month, and we may as well be thinking of Vegas now. So this is good. I like it. I didn't know Alan Cumming was in this. He plays Mick Jagged.
Mick Jagged.
Of course
he
does.
Yeah.
I'm also
that's not even rock. That's not even like a rock play on words.
No,
it's like
it's not. It's dumb. That's so dumb.
It's like, no, you're supposed to stick with the word stone or rock or pebble
right.
or whatever. Right. You can't go like pebble. Jagged.
And I'm out of things that are.
Did you know that Betty's name in the cartoon is Betty O'Shale? It's Betty O'Shale.
That was her, maiden name.
Maiden name, right.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Alan Cumming isn't just Mick Jagged. He's the Great Gazoo.
Who the hell's the Great Gazoo? Okay.
What? You don't know the Great Gazoo is the green Martian who...
Right. Oh, this sounds like garbage, you guys.
Oliver of the Flintstones.
It's going to be so good, guys. Please.
Stephen Baldwin. Oh, my... Yep. We're screwed.
Silence your phones. Get yourselves no distractions for this movie.
We're screwed.
Oh, my God. We've got Harvey Korman in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Got to be one of his last roles, right?
Joan Collins. Wait, Joan Collins, I think, is reprised. Oh, no. It was Elizabeth Taylor in the first movie.
Yeah. Those always get confused. I always confuse those two.
Yeah.
all right. Well, that's all that and more can be yours if you tune in next week, everybody. That's filmsack.com for all the details you might need. You can email us, like I mentioned before, filmsack@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @filmsack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Go!
See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hubba, hubba.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.